It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, our guest makes a case for understanding history to better understand the world today.
First, the presidential candidates are in the final weeks of campaigning before the November 8th general election. The big news over the last week, the Access Hollywood Donald Trump tapes, a WikiLeaks data dump of Clinton campaign documents, the debate, and women saying that Donald Trump had kissed or touched them without consent.
In the last day or two, we've seen three major speeches that have generated interest and debate. Yesterday, Donald Trump spoke in Florida referencing a conspiracy against him involving fellow Republicans, the mainstream media, and the Clinton campaign. In New Hampshire, Michelle Obama gave an impassioned speech directed at women that took on the issues of the Trump tapes without ever using his name. And closer to home in Madison, Paul Ryan made the case against liberal progressive ideology, also without naming Donald Trump.
Joining us now to talk about the latest in the presidential race is Sean Sullivan. He's a political reporter at The Washington Post. Sean, welcome to Central Time. Sean, are you there? We will try to raise Sean Sullivan in just a few moments, talking about the presidential campaign. Can we try bringing him back up again on that line? Sean, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Wonderful. Yes, I can. Loud and clear. So, Sean, you've been covering especially Trump campaign events over the last couple of days. What's been the tone of Donald Trump's response to the news, the allegations coming out this week?
The tone has been pure defiance. He has vigorously denied all of these allegations that we're hearing from women that he groped them, that he touched them without their consent. He said yesterday that he will soon present evidence that will back up what he's saying, but he has yet to present any of that evidence. He didn't do it today at a rally in North Carolina. Mike Pence, who is Trump's running mate, said something similar this morning, that there would be evidence that would vindicate him. But we've yet to see that evidence, and so these allegations continue to surround the Republican presidential nominee less than a month before Election Day.
Let's get a taste. This is Trump, I think, at yesterday's event, talking about the claims.
These vicious claims about me of inappropriate conduct with women are totally and absolutely false. And the Clintons know it, and they know it very well. These claims are all fabricated. They're pure fiction, and they're outright lies. These events never, ever happened, and the people that said them meekly fully understand. You take a look at these people, you study these people, and you'll understand also.
And I also want to play a bit from a speech today in North Carolina, Trump talking about Jessica Leeds, the woman who accused him of groping her on an airplane.
Oh, I was with Donald Trump in 1980. I was sitting with him on an airplane. And he went after me on the plane. Yeah, I'm going to go after. Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell you. Man. You don't know. That would not be my first choice.
So Trump not dancing around these issues, Sean, going right after him. And people have been pointing to that and a quote from yesterday saying he's basically saying these women weren't attractive enough for me to grope is the way people are reading those. Is that, but the crowd seemed to like what they were hearing?
I think there's no ambiguity about what he was saying in that instance right there. I think he was very clearly going after the physical appearance of one of his accusers. And you heard, I think, in some of the background there that the crowd is cheering him on when he's saying this. And this is something that they are, you know, encouraging in him. And it was interesting to hear at the top of his speech, he said, look, you know, my advisors, the people close to me say I should talk about the issues. I should talk about the policy differences between me and Secretary Clinton. But I have to talk about this stuff. I have to defend myself. I have to bring this up. And so that gives you a window into the way Donald Trump thinks. He can't, you know, let things slide or move on to something else. He's got to address things in a very aggressive manner. We've seen this before when he's picked fights with the Kahn family, when he's picked fights with a federal judge, people who, you know, aren't really even involved in the campaign. And we're seeing that again with these deeply personal attacks that he's launching.
And you wrote yesterday, I think it was, about a wider theme coming out of these speeches, kind of a us against the world sort of framing of what's going on.
Yeah, he is basically lumping everybody together into one big sort of conspiratorial effort to undermine him. He's saying basically that the accusers are working with the Clinton campaign, that they're working with the media, that it's all part of one bigger conspiracy that involves corporate interests and, you know, other interest groups. But, of course, he's not offered any evidence of this. He continues to say this. His supporters continue to cheer him on. And so he's kind of embraced this underdog status, so to speak, with a few weeks left here.
Talking to Sean Sullivan from The Washington Post about what's going on the campaign trail. Another speech got attention yesterday. Michelle Obama talking about the tapes, the allegations against Trump. Here's a listen to her.
I can't believe that I'm saying that a candidate for president of the United States has bragged about sexually assaulting women. And I have to tell you that I can't stop thinking about this. It has shaken me to my core in a way that I couldn't have predicted. So while I'd love nothing more than to pretend like this isn't happening and to come out here and do my normal campaign speech, it would be dishonest and disingenuous to me to just move on to the next thing like this was all just a bad dream.
So that message got forwarded a lot by Hillary Clinton supporters. Do you think it's something that might cross the aisle from people who already support Democrats and reach out to voters, women voters, maybe more generally, Sean?
Yeah, I think it really does have the potential to reach a lot of different voters. Michelle Obama is somebody who's pretty broadly popular, who gave a speech at the Democratic convention that was very, very widely well received. You know, she's seen as somebody who's generally pretty liked among the public. And I think, you know, when she speaks in a way like that, which is obviously very personal to her, I think this does have the potential to sway some voters. But again, you know, a lot of Trump supporters, a lot of his strongest supporters are not going to be swayed by anything. The real question here is what moderate voters, what centrist voters, what, you know, undecided voters who sit in the middle do. And I think that's who Michelle Obama was aiming her comments at yesterday.
I want to wrap up our tale of three speeches today with a listen to Paul Ryan, closer to home, speaking to college Republicans in Madison. Here's a taste of his speech.
In the America they want, the driving force is the state. It is a place where government is taken away from the people, where we are ruled by our betters, by a cold and unfeeling bureaucracy that replaces original thinking. It is a place where the government twists the law and the Constitution itself to suit its purposes. It's a place where liberty is always under assault, where passion, the very stuff of life, is extinguished. That is the America Hillary Clinton wants. And if given control of Washington, if given control of Congress, it is the kind of America she will stop at nothing to have. The America that they want is remade in the mold of what we call liberal progressivism.
And Sean, Paul Ryan there didn't mention Donald Trump by name, according to reporters at this event. Paul Ryan has been trying to say, hey, let's focus on issues, let's focus on Congress, let's focus on ideology and not basically the Trump stuff. Is he getting any traction in doing that?
Well, it's been a very difficult week for Paul Ryan. He's obviously tried to distance himself from Trump, which has angered some Republicans, including some members of Congress, who were upset with the fact that he said, look, I'm not going to campaign for him anymore. I'm going to focus on, you know, the battle for Congress and these down-ballot races. He's still, as we heard there, trying to make the case against Hillary Clinton in this election, but he's also trying to make a case for his brand of conservatism, which is a very different brand from the brand that Donald Trump is offering right now. So it's almost like, you know, his message is running on a parallel track right now, and it's having a difficult time, I think, breaking through. And, of course, Donald Trump continues to attack Paul Ryan on the campaign trail. We heard him this week say that perhaps Ryan is part of some bigger, sinister plot against him, some more kind of conspiratorial language from Donald Trump. And Trump showed no signs that he's willing to let up. And so I would expect that he will continue to attack Paul Ryan leading up to November 8th.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
That's Sean Sullivan, political reporter for The Washington Post. He joined us to give us the latest in the presidential campaign and the state of the parties. You can follow the elections at wisconsinvote.org and WPR.org. Find podcasts, lots of interviews, and more.